streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. We begin with severe storms threatening the middle of the country. KWTV's Tevis Hillis says dangerous flooding swept away cars near Oklahoma City.
One of the cars involved fell under a bridge. Officers say they found the bodies of a woman and a 12-year-old boy overnight. They passed away because of this. Everyone from the other car was rescued. One of them was taken to the hospital.
And severe weather will continue into early tomorrow with the possibility of large hail, damaging winds, and even potentially strong tornadoes. Off to Rome on this Easter Sunday.
Pope Francis wished the faithful a happy Easter, delivering his traditional Urbi et Orbi blessing from the balcony of St. Peter's. Later, he greeted crowds with a lap around the square in the Popemobile for the first time since he was discharged from the hospital 3 weeks ago for double pneumonia. Meanwhile, in Moscow, Russian President Vladimir Putin attended midnight mass at Christ the Savior Cathedral, marking Orthodox Easter, which coincides this year. His appearance comes as the Kremlin declared a 30-hour holiday ceasefire in Ukraine, a truce both sides have accused the other of violating. Chris Livesay, CBS News, Rome.
Meantime, Secretary of State Marco Rubio warned that the U.S. may move on from trying to secure a peace deal if there's no progress in the coming days. Republican Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick told Face the Nation this morning.
I think Secretary Rubio is doing a great job. He's a smart man. He understands Putin. He understands the dynamic of the Russia-Ukraine conflict and the history there. And I have full faith in his ability to barter a just and fair agreement.
Fitzpatrick just returned from Ukraine, where he met with President Zelensky. To the war in the Middle East, where Israel's military acknowledges its soldiers made mistakes when they recently opened fire and killed 15 medical workers. The BBC's Paul Adams is in Tel Aviv.
The deputy commander of the reconnaissance unit involved has been dismissed for giving false details of how the deaths occurred. The military has stopped short of accusing him of actually lying. The unit's commanding officer has also been reprimanded. Further legal action is possible.
Well, forget the eggs. In a town south of Brussels in Belgium, they do an Easter beer hunt instead. 10,000 bottles of beer are hidden.
It's something so Belgian to do. Like, we love beer. We love chocolate. Merge it together. You get something incredible.
All right, so what do they win? Well, beer, of course. They get to go home with every single bottle they find. By the way, they also do a chocolate egg hunt in the morning for the kids. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Rain showers continue tonight. Some pockets of heavy rain and a low around 38. Showers in the morning Monday. Highs in the afternoon around 47 and breezy out of the northwest. For Monday night, partly cloudy, breezy, 31. Tuesday showers and 54.
Right now, it's 44.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Playhouse for this April 13th, 2025, session 61-ish, I believe.
Yeah.
The host and your host and program director here, James J. Mailoff. I'm joined by my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habhager.
Well, everyone, we are back again with another fantastic interview with another fantastic Wisconsin artist. You've heard from him before. He has been on our airwaves a little while ago. He was talking about his most recent film, but he's here to talk about that and some other films he's done and some other interesting developments in art in Wisconsin, specifically in film. So let's get going.
We welcome to the WFHR stage Wisconsin's own award-winning director, writer, creator, Nathan Deming. Nathan, good to have you with us.
Hello, quite the intro. Nice to be here.
We go big around here. Yeah. We want to build that ego up, man. We want to, and we appreciate you joining us again. We everything Seth said is so on point. Nathan, before we dive into this great tour that you just wrapped up and some of the coverage about that and Action Wisconsin, we really want to get into, along with some of the films that you've done, can you let our audience know a little bit about you? Can you tell us some of your background?
Well, super excited to be here today, partly because I grew up not too far away from you guys, about an hour down the road in good old Como, Wisconsin. And we're probably high school rivals, right?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
I feel like we're in this interesting space in the state because there's so many distinct geographic regions in Wisconsin, you know, and then we got our foot in a lot of pools. You know, we're kind of Western Wisconsin, we're kind of Central Wisconsin, we're kind of Northern Wisconsin. Do you feel that way?
Definitely. I think there's a relatability, whether you're from Rapids or Tomba or Nakusa or any of these things, too. Mm-hmm. I think you can relate to that. Appreciate that. Nathan, what got you to want to do filmmaking, be in the arts for a living? Or did you really have a choice? Because now that I said it out loud, I'm looking at Seth and I'm thinking about myself. I don't know if any of us really had a choice, did we? We just kind of, you know, you got to follow your passions.
Definitely not for the money. Well, and if people are paying attention to what's going on in the film industry, it's an extremely grim time for the film industry in general, unless you're the Minecraft movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, yeah, exactly.
Unless you're a major studio now owned by a major multi-billion-dollar company. It's just kind of a weird time, Ed. But yeah, I've always loved movies, all kinds of movies. Grew up with in the era of like VHS camcorders. My dad had one, and I remember. I mean, I liked a lot of movies as a 5-year-old, but at some point came across Star Wars. You know. Fell in love with it, and if you remember the VHS copy of Star Wars, this was before the special editions came out that ruined everything. They did this like final re-release, and then they opened with an interview with Leonard Maltin and George Lucas.
Oh my gosh, yes, I remember that.
I remember it. Yes, I could picture the tape. I could, yeah.
Yes, yeah, the fuzz and the So my very first movies were actually, I thought that's how you had to start a movie. So my first
awesome.
my first film, I was like 5 or 6, and I called it The Nightmare. I drew some stuff on like a chalkboard, you know, that I filmed for the title cards. And then basically it was like, before The Nightmare, we're going to have a little interview about the film. My 4-year-old brother, I forced him to interview me, and then I'm sitting there talking about making the movie like I am now. And and then we never made the movie.
That's awesome. God, is that a great story.
That's great.
Almost a similar story for me, except it was my dad. It was my dad do the interviewing. So I had a very, Southside Chicago Italian, this out of nowhere, his voice out of nowhere, just jumping into this and everything. It was great. I wish I still had that video. I wish you had yours. That's fantastic.
I know it's somewhere. I got to dig it out because it's pretty funny. And maybe I should actually, what I should do is I should make The Nightmare now.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Then intro it with
the interview.
Well, and you know, and
I have to stick to, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you going to say?
I I have to stick to whatever decisions I talk about in the
interesting film. Yeah. You know?
And speaking of films, we're going to dive into your films a little bit more in our second half here and everything. But you did just wrap up a 36 city tour regarding your films and regarding your filmmaking and such. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what you discussed and found out about on your tour?
Yeah, 36 city Wisconsin tour.
Yes, which I should note was covered by the Wisconsin State Journal and the Chicago Sun Times. This has been and we talked about it quite a bit too.
Yeah, yeah, you were one of my first interviews, so thanks for having me on, James. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing this series I'm calling the Year Project, where I'm making a film for every month of the year, all set in Wisconsin. And I want to do something unique with it, which is not, you know, this isn't for everyone. This is for Wisconsinites. I told everyone on the tour, I want this to be like the Spotted Cow of film series. Like, you can only get it in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. or Chicago and Minneapolis, where we also played. But normally that's also what happens with Spotted Cow beer, right?
It's right.
Friends, mm-hmm. fungal.
Oh, yeah. It's a great cop. A great cop.
But I want to set up this, what I hope will be this unique experience for audiences and myself, which is that over the next 10 or 15 years, every other year or so, depending on my schedule, you guys will hear from me, and I'll come around the state in the exact same way I just did, which was showing February, so number two, because I'm going in order, and in February, and then like... So in a year, I'll come around with March, and in March, and then, you know, a year or two after that, April, and mm-hmm. I just want to set up something fun and unique that's also like an ongoing, like I like series like the Decalogue, which is like focused on that. That's a series, 10 films, one for each one of the 10 commandments. Mm-hmm. But then other filmmakers like Richard Linklater, who he did a film for 12 years. It's just one movie, but he shot it over 12 years.
That's right.
Boyhood.
Incredible.
And he's currently working on, I believe it's called Merrily We Roll Along, and a movie he's going to shoot over 17 years.
Oh, my gosh.
So I just think it's fun when these kind of things happen. Mm-hmm. And... part of the February tour was basically introducing people to it for the first time, because we premiered both January and February at the Wisconsin Film Festival, but January is kind of still within the tentacles of COVID on society, mm-hmm. you know, like a big tour was not exactly a, you know, it wasn't as feasible as right now. So I had so much fun. It was really fun connecting with audiences around the state. And James, you saw the movie. You remember there's an ice fisherman character who's very Wisconsinite. Mm-hmm. And everywhere around the state, I asked Green Bay or, you know, Ashland or Prairie du Chien, does this guy live here? Do you know this guy? And every single location was like, oh yeah.
That's one of the powers of what you're doing here, Nathan. And you know, we just got done talking about all of us have a Star Wars background,
sure.
or a superhero background, or loving action movies or big blockbusters or anything like that. There's nothing wrong with any of those. And I think that there's some fine filmmaking and fine filmmakers involved in those. But this is where the art really gets made. And this is what storytelling and what films, I believe, were really invented for. Telling stories that not everybody knows, showing how, well, this fisherman or this, you know, somebody maybe in a downtown inner city or something like that, you might think, well, I have no relatability to this. Then you watch the movie and you realize before the movie's even halfway over, oh, I can relate to this person quite a bit. Showing how much more we are connected. I think film has the power to do that. And I know it has the power to do that. And you, what you're doing is a really good example of that. It'll bring attention to maybe jobs or types of people that we don't get a chance to put on there very much. Representation has so many layers to it that we, I think, have done a good job as a society to get better about. You're not me as a little kid looking for any, like, a mixed kid out there or something like that and seeing Horseshack and freaking out. Oh, God, I got one. You know, we got much more of that nowadays and everything, and that's really good to see. But with that, I think, comes, okay, well, now who else are we not covering? What other stories are we not telling? Stories that you're having in these movies are important because of that. All of that being said, there is also another underlying importance to this that we kind of touched about in our pregame a little bit. But it's something that you talked about quite a bit throughout your tour, and that's Action Wisconsin. Can we talk about that, Nathan, and what that is?
Yeah, for sure. Because, I agree. I mean, film is an empathy machine, right? You know, it's and I think on top of that, switching to Action Wisconsin, I think people don't realize that the United States' number one export is cultural, and it's mm-hmm. the entertainment industry.
That's right.
That is our largest export in the world. People also don't realize that we basically control 90% of the global audience share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's incredible.
I didn't realize that until I went to the London Film School and thought, oh, this is great. I'm going to connect with, and I did connect with great filmmakers from all over the world, but I didn't realize that everybody there mostly wanted to come to America.
Right.
Our culture is and has been dominant for a long time. Well, we'll see how long that lasts, but
mm-hmm. of course,
it's just very important. And so I think within that, as a filmmaker from Wisconsin, as somebody who's worked and lived in Hollywood for like 10 years now, I'm also very sensitive to the fact that a lot of our American film industry is really, the coastal film industry. It's, L.A., New York, or mm-hmm. Chicago a little bit. And I love those cities, and I love a lot of the movies that come out of them. But that does mean that voices get sidelined, and that, there's an image of the Midwest in the media that I think can often be stereotypical or, just not really what's going on here. People just think of Fargo when they think of the Midwest, or Making a Murderer or something
right,
like that.
Right. Yeah.
And in general, there's a coastal bias, which their tastes change all the time. So I'm sure it'll change at some point, but right now there's just like, it's like the most boring thing you can tell them is that you're from Wisconsin or from the Midwest or, the flyover states, as much as that's a joke. And, meanwhile, I know a ton of great artists here. Mm-hmm. I know a ton of amazing stories and really interesting people. And I think they're counting us out. So that's bringing me to what I'm very passionate about, which is more films happening inside Wisconsin. And that's what Action Wisconsin is trying to do, this nonprofit that is pushing for building the economic initiatives to make that happen. Because it gets boring fast, so I'll try to keep this fun. But basically, movies don't get made now anywhere around the world without a thing called tax incentives. Are you guys familiar with what those are?
Yes, right.
Yeah. I don't think it'd be bad. I don't know if, because both Seth and I are entertainers and we come from, the industry very well, but maybe some of our listeners might not. So if you do want to touch on that, it's a great idea.
No, definitely. Yeah. So, I'm a filmmaker and I'm still like, okay, what are they? Basically, for a while now, a model has grown where, because film is so lucrative, because every time a film comes to town, you're creating jobs and money gets poured into the local economy. That means it's extremely competitive to get films to shoot there. And so what's happened is that states offer a part of the budget back to the production. So if your budget is $1 million and the tax offering is 25%, then do the math, you get a little bit more back. Because studies have shown that like the dollars spent in the state or spent on the production will bring more dollars. And then obviously, like, you have to look at states that have done this really well, like Georgia and New Mexico, it's created like multi-billions of dollars. Like, and then New Mexico has multiple hit shows like Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul that also then become cultural exports, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, right.
Suddenly I'm driving through Albuquerque and I got to go see the hotel where Walt and Jesse got in a fight or whatever,
right.
You know?
Yeah, right.
And,
yeah.
So anyways, Wisconsin is one of 13 states that have no incentives. And on top of that, to add insult to injury, we're one of three without a film office. And a film office is just as important. It's basically like if Bill Murray wants to shoot Groundhog's Day, which was filmed actually really close to the Wisconsin border in Illinois, they would call up the state film office and then immediately get a list of resources, get their footing, you know, realize that this is possible. Okay, the state can handle this. We don't have that right now. So
yeah, it's borderline shocking, actually.
It really is. And Nathan, something that Seth and I have touched on whenever we get a chance, Wisconsin finished dead last in the union when it came to funding the arts. Whether we're talking about this topic or even some other things that Wisconsin, our neighboring states are, you know, making laps around us, whether we're, you know, talking about legalization or other topics where that one hits our ag industry so hard that, you know, no spoiler to anybody that needs it so much.
Right.
Or we're talking about something like this where, you know, you look up north in the last couple of winters and how bad that they have been devastated by the lack of having people over there or anything mm-hmm. like that. I imagine that if we had a film being done up north or something like that, boy, that would help the economy quite a bit. That's money that's being left on the table.
That's the exact right way to put it. Money left on the table. Speaking of up north, all you have to do is look at Duluth and Superior, right? So people who don't know that area, I mean, they're essentially like one town pretty yeah. much. You know, they're like one large community.
Yeah, that's where I'm from. I'm from the Duluth area, actually.
Okay, yeah. Split by the channel. And Minnesota has good incentives. Mm-hmm. And right now, Duluth, it has a film office and incentives. And they're seeing a ton of movies made up there. And then right across the channel on the Wisconsin side, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So if we change these things, there's no reason those same productions that are already filming in Duluth won't immediately have a foothold and be like, oh, great, now we can start shooting in Superior as well, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
And so it's just really frustrating because, like you said, it's money left on the table. And the really exciting thing is that, so this has been an effort in the works for a long time. They tried to bring in it as a bill in the Wisconsin legislature last year. It didn't even make it into the whatever you call it. It didn't get brought up.
Right.
Action Wisconsin has made some real progress, and some legislators on our behalf have made progress. And Governor Evers added, under the Department of Tourism, both of these things, film incentives and a film office, to the 2025-2027 budget. So it is now a very real possibility that we get these things. And there's two more Joint Finance Committee hearings at the end of the month where Action Wisconsin is asking people to go if they're nearby. I don't remember where they are off the top of my head. I think Wausau and Hayward. And it's about the whole budget, right? But we can go let them know that this is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, if you can't make it to Wausau or Hayward, if you go to the Action Wisconsin website, which is pretty easy to remember, it's just actionwi.org, there's a take action button. And in there is like a pre-written letter that takes like 30 seconds to fill out your information. It'll shoot right out to your legislator to also let them know, hey, this is in the budget and this is really important. Like, please don't cut this, you know,
right.
This isn't just we're coming at it also, I think, from the art side and the culture side. This is also just an economic thing. That's where Action Wisconsin is actually coming from, is mm-hmm. this is an economic growth thing. And that's the argument that's winning over Republicans and Democrats, which is, to borrow your phrase again, we're just literally leaving money on the table as one of 13 states. And the final thing I'll say about it is, a lot of people don't know this, the film industry might be leaving L.A. And there was just a headline in the Hollywood Reporter the other day that studio vacancy rate is at the highest historically ever.
Wow.
So in other words, they're not filming in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And it's because of incentives. And I think the future, because of technological changes that we could go into, but we don't have to, but because of a lot of things, the future might be that Hollywood is everywhere and in kind of shifting regions. So I think now is the perfect time for us to do this and try to capture the talent. I've mentioned
this before. Some years back, Vince Vaughn took a real initiative to this, did a very similar thing that you're doing, Nathan, and taking time from his touring, promoting movies or whatever project he was involved in, to really focus on getting people in Illinois to vote for this and lower the taxes for filmmaking and everything. Once that happened, once that passed, The Dark Knight gets filmed there. You know, so many other great films have been filmed there for years. It was a place that you really had to be able to fit it into your budget if you were going to film in Chicago. You wanted to get that river or some of those shots, it was going to cost you. It still isn't, I wouldn't say cheap by any means, but it is so much more affordable to where you're seeing so many more films being done there. Vince Vaughn's like legacy as an actor is one thing, but the way he is in that city and from this, and the initiative he took, I think a very similar thing can happen here with what you're doing. And maybe one of the more important points I want to bring up when it comes to this, you know, Seth and I are transplants. We get this better than most. I went to high school out here. I know how rivalries work. You want these other states doing something you're not doing? Come on. I mean, Wisconsin, come on. You know, you're going to let Illinois, Minnesota, right, Michigan get away with this? Come on. Yeah, you could be a part of this and everything. If this is what I got to do, Nathan, to get people to be a part of this, I'm going to take whatever route I got. In all seriousness, this is something that, as Nathan touched on, it impacts anybody, whether you have never seen a movie, could care less about seeing a movie. You care about your taxes. You care about your income. You care about those things. And I believe that everyone out there cares about their neighbors and their friends and such. So this is something that what we're talking about here, I genuinely believe has no negatives. I truly don't think there is any negative to something like Action Wisconsin. There's only positives. And hopefully it's only a matter of time that it gets passed. Nathan, you mentioned a website. Can we mention that one more time before we go to break?
ActionWI.org.
Check that out, everybody. Get on over there, sign up, and encourage you to do some more homework on this one, because I think while we've touched on it quite a bit, there are plenty of other layers to this that I think people would find interesting and go a long way.
Real quick, to that point, James, and to something that Nathan said a little bit earlier, you know, there's the tourism aspect of it, you know, like, wow, do you know this was filmed here? And you can, you know, people will go and see it. You know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, up in northern Minnesota, now we did not get many films up there that were made, of course. One that was made was from a local, Jessica Lang. She's from Cloquet, Minnesota. So the movie is called Far North. It's not very good. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I remember that.
But they filmed it up in northern Minnesota because they got, you know, Duluth and that area. And this was back in the late 80s, early 90s, something like that. But I remember my family getting into the car and finding the farmhouse that was not far from where we lived to see where That's they had cool. filmed it. The farmhouse where they had filmed those scenes there, the ones that weren't in Duluth and that kind of stuff. And that was just, you know, us. This being locals there, you think about, you know, Columbus when they filmed the Public Enemy films with Johnny Depp, you know, down in the downtown area there. Every time I go to Columbus, I think of that movie and them filming it there. It's something, you know, I don't know if people really think about it. It's like, wow. And not only that, when they're filming, it's an event. Yes. You know, people get to be extras. You get to, you know, see the process and that sort of thing.
Well, in the jobs it can create,
right?
You know, where they're bringing in people. To what you're talking about there, Seth, I remember going to Union Station. And to this day, I go to Union Station and I think of The Untouchables.
Yes, I said that when we were there.
and that's something that that we're talking about, you know, Chicago, where there's a billion things you could be talking about or remembering about that city, especially if you grew up around there and you got, you know, your own personal memories. Mm-hmm. But yet I go to Union Union Station, which I've been to at least a billion times, and I think of The Untouchables almost every time. The jobs that it can create and make available. And I'll say this, too. Without films being filmed here in Wisconsin, my and many others out there, dreams wouldn't have been met. I became a Screen Actor Guild member because of an independent film, No Names, being filmed not even like 40 minutes away from me.
Right.
And getting a chance to be a part of that. I think that that's worth something. Not just not my dream per se, but anybody's out there that wants to chase this down. And it's part of the reason why we like to get your origin story, you know, Nathan, and guests that join us. We know that like you, like Seth, like I, many of us were kids at one point that looked at this industry and thought, well, God, how could I ever get to that point? How could I, this little kid from northern Minnesota or from Tomo, Wisconsin, get to a point where you're making films? We just gave you examples. It can happen. And especially if we're supporting the arts in this state. I appreciate the conversation so much, Nathan, but you're not done. We got a whole other second half here to get to. We're going to talk with Nathan a little bit about the films that he has made and some of the work that's been going he's been up to. Coming up here on Director's Playhouse.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Some threatening weather in the middle of the country. Meteorologist Leah Hill is with WMOV-TV in St. Louis.
Tornadoes cannot be ruled out in these types of situations either as a line of thunderstorms tracks across the area.
Severe weather and torrential rains yesterday caused flooding that killed at least two people near Oklahoma City. Thousands attended Easter Mass in St. Peter's Square, where Pope Francis made an appearance on the balcony.
I'm really grateful to be here right now. I know it's a really wonderful opportunity to be in Vatican City.
Republican Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick met with Ukrainian President Zelensky to discuss the ongoing war. He told Face the Nation.
He and I had talks about the security guarantees. That's obviously a big concern of his. He is rightfully concerned.
In recent days, President Trump and Secretary of State Rubio raised the prospect of abandoning the Ukraine peace process if there are no clear signs of progress. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Rain showers continue tonight. Some pockets of heavy rain and a low around 38. Showers in the morning Monday. Highs in the afternoon around 47 and breezy out of the northwest. For Monday night, partly cloudy, breezy 31. Tuesday showers and 54.
Right now, it's 44.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. While corrosive democracy news from Washington continued this week, state news ranged from good in Delaware and Mississippi, mixed in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, to downright ugly in New Hampshire. Voting Rights Lab reports the Delaware Senate advanced SB 2 and SB 3, constitutional amendments allowing 10 days of early voting and no excuse absentee voting. Legislative versions of both bills passed last year, but the Delaware Supreme Court found that the state constitution didn't enable them. The General Assembly must pass them again next year for them to be adopted. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered Mississippi to redraw state Senate districts for DeSoto County, which it found violated the 1965 Voting Rights Act by diluting a majority black section of the county, according to Mississippi Today. State officials in North Carolina found fewer issues among the 5,000 military and overseas voters than the Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin claimed, but the highly questionable post-election review of voter eligibility continues. Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday appealed a federal court ruling directing county officials to count otherwise eligible mail-in ballots without a date. The New Hampshire Senate advanced SB 213, which would require voters applying by mail for an absentee ballot to enclose a copy of their birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers, almost certainly disenfranchising otherwise eligible voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to WFHR's Director's Playhouse. Seth and James hanging out with Nathan Deming, local filmmaker here in the state. And we're going to talk a little bit about Nathan's films and the work he's been doing. If you don't mind, Nathan, before we get into February and maybe even March, I did want to touch on what you've been up to lately and also rewinding a little bit to your first film. So first, you were just touching on during the break here a little bit. That you were a part of the you were on the jury of the Wisconsin Film
Festival.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Yeah, that was super fun. So the Wisconsin Film Festival is in Madison every April. It's my favorite film festival in Wisconsin. I think everybody should check it out. And they, unlike a lot of film festivals, they actually support local filmmakers and people coming up. Which, like, you just have to look at something like the Chicago International Film Festival. They don't really do that, unfortunately. They definitely have great selections, but they just don't do a lot with Illinois filmmakers or even Chicago filmmakers. But Wisconsin Film Festival makes that a priority. And this year, I was lucky enough to be one of the three juror members who watched, I think it was like 60 films, all made in Wisconsin.
Ooh.
In a weekend, and they were a mix of short films, documentaries, a couple documentary features. And then at the end of it, we got to award it with the three films with the prestigious Golden Badger.
And, That's awesome.
This year, one of the filmmakers, as I was just telling you, is from Wisconsin Rapids. His name is Sawyer Wideman. He made a film called Adagio that I liked quite a lot.
Yeah, we're hoping to talk to him at a future episode.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, and appreciate you mentioning the film festival, because not only we like to bring to attention to it, but it's such a wonderful opportunity for people, I think, to take in not only the arts but films that they may not see otherwise.
Exactly.
So it's a great thing if you can take it in every year. We encourage you to. We touched on this a little bit the last time we got together, Nathan, but we didn't have as much time as we do today. I wanted to get into Speaking in Tongues, a film that your first film, I believe, from 2018. I mentioned to you at the time that I remember when this movie came out and getting a chance to see it. And I don't know that there are many examples to me. There's a million movies out there that talk about grief, that give you, you know, a storyline that involves that or something. There's very few for me that give such empathy, that echo empathy so much, like this film did. I credit you as a writer, you as a director, and certainly the cast, Scott, Tyler, the people that were involved with this, the great work, the combination of that you guys did. That is a wonderful film. It can be heavy on the heart at times, but in the right ways, I think in important ways and in relatable ways. How did it go making that film? And I imagine a long process is building into the scenes.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for all those kind words about it. Yeah, that was my first feature, which for a lot of filmmakers is a pretty big deal, pretty big rite of passage. And we shot it in both a little bit in Wisconsin, but it's a Chicago movie. That's where the film takes place. And yeah, it's about about a young college student who we find out has lost his mother recently. And in the shadow of that tragedy, he's become a member of a growing megachurch, which I know they're still around, but when I was in college about 12 or 15 years ago, I think they were having a real kind of cultural moment. Mm-hmm. There were like celebrity pastors on YouTube, you're familiar at all. Mm-hmm. And that weren't just like Joel Osteen or something like TV friendly. Like they were kind of like it was kind of a new generation thing. It's kind of Gen X. Like they were pretty popular, and it kind of was like rewriting the Bible and being like Christianity's cool now, you know?
Yeah.
And incorporating like TVs and all this stuff. So anyways, this is a very personal story because I got sucked up in a similar church. Ooh. And wanted to process a lot of the experiences I had. I'm no longer religious, but I wanted to talk in that film about what I saw as the positives and negatives of the whole thing. Mm. Because I think evangelical Christianity in particular, or speaking in tongues, where we get the name from, it has kind of a funny cultural image. And yet, mm-hmm. a lot of people across the country and world who that's their faith, that's part mm-hmm. of it, you know, or they're getting wrapped up in it. So, yeah, I wanted to make a film that both non-Christians and Christians could enjoy. And mm-hmm. I think we did that. Yeah, so that was the main thing. And try to also show that although maybe it doesn't work out for Scott's character in the end, we kind of see the emotional hooks that mm-hmm. kind of sucked him in. Mm-hmm. I do have some criticisms of the church layered in there, but, you know, like, I think there are probably some that people could probably largely agree with.
And I think with that and with the film itself and the story of it, I think it's so relatable to darn near anybody, if not everybody, that's watching it, especially when it comes to loss or when it comes to, where you seek help or the help that you might need with that loss. It's a wonderful film and especially a great way to come out the box, man. Your first film, this being, and it's really impressive. You don't have to take my word for it, everybody. I believe you can find it on Tubi for free. It's on Amazon Prime as well. I encourage you to find it. Again, it is Speaking in Tongues from 2018, rated PG. Nathan, I wanted to kind of fast forward now a little bit in your filmmaking process to February, not to get past January or anything, but talking about what you and letting you dive into a little bit more of what you were talking about earlier about this project that you have where you're making a film for every month of the year. Tell us about February and the experience you've had touring with that and, people's responses to it.
Yeah, well, so with this whole project, I got 12 opportunities to tell 12 Wisconsin stories, not just the people and the place, but also the month of the year, you know, like what it means here in Wisconsin. We have pretty distinct and defined months. I mean, we're getting a pretty full-blown April already with how temperamental the weather's being, you know what I mean? There's like snow, then it's 50, then it's snow, then it's rain, then, you know.
The original purpose of these, Nathan, to let people outside of Wisconsin know it's not always snowing here? Was that really the underlying purpose?
We have summer.
Originally, I just wanted to make screensavers, you know.
This whole movie came out of it. And
I also strongly believe that our environment does affect us, you know, so February is specifically a story about a Mexican immigrant who's brand new to Wisconsin, trying to get his footing. He's kind of in culture shock. He's not really finding anything to open up about until he finds ice fishing. So there's a very specific story there. But I mean, the starting point, though, was just the month of February itself and what I think it means to me or hopefully all of us in our journey around the sun, which is I think February to me is just the doldrums. It's just repetition. You know, it's like your fifth or sixth month of winter, Maybe not anymore, but that's how it was when I was a kid.
Right.
You know? And your kids probably have colds. You have a cold. It's like your fifth cold, probably, yes, of the whole season. And the days are still shorter than the nights, and you're just longing. So there's just like this kind of head down, let's get through it thing that people in Miami or people in, you know, the Sun Belt don't really understand as much. But I think that's kind of what a lot of us go through here.
Oh, yes.
When it came to the reception of this film, as you've been touring it around, how has that gone?
That was so much fun. I had concerns on some level because it is a story about immigration, and it's not really a political film, but I guess anything with immigrants is inherently political these days.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little worried about, especially some smaller towns we played, maybe some negative reactions. But actually, it was kind of really heartwarming. Like, David, who plays Miguel, he came out from California, and everybody just treated him like a movie star on the tour. It was really nice.
That's great.
And I even heard from some people. They didn't tell me their politics or anything, but they said something like, oh, I never thought about it from the immigrant's point of view before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I also think it's a very interesting thing to say because, I mean, the obvious point is we are a state of immigrants. We're a nation of immigrants. You don't have to go back far in my family to find German and Norwegians who came here and started their lives here and adapted and created their own culture. And right now, Latinos are doing that. And, you know, they're the fastest growing demographic in Wisconsin. They're the largest minority group. People don't realize they make up 70% of the dairy workforce, estimated.
Mm-hmm.
And we still just treat them as guests. And they're bringing the vibrancy to the state. They're also opening up a lot of small businesses. If you've noticed, there's actual, like, numbers to show that, like, small town downtowns have, you know, there's been a lot of like light of businesses out, and the people moving in are often Latinos, and they're opening up Latin American grocery stores and Mexican restaurants, and like they're keeping things alive. They're really adding to our state. So I thought it was fun to, you know, show the like I said, I got 12 opportunities to show the state. Like, how could I possibly ignore them?
Right.
Especially the time sensitivity of so many different things that this movie brings up, whether it's organically or through the actors and the writing. I think it's very noteworthy. When it comes to how people can see the film, is there going to be an opportunity for that coming up?
Well, I'm sorry to say, if you missed it on the tour, I'm not sure when our next date is. We played at the Beloit Film Festival a week ago, and that was kind of our last official screening since January in this whole kind of 2025 thing.
Mm-hmm.
We are figuring out when we're going to release it online. So January is online, and then eventually February will join it. But sorry to say, you might have missed out this time. All the more reason to pay attention when I come around saying, March, March, March.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly where I was going, man. Yeah, yeah. And for the audience to know, Nathan and I will keep in touch. And when it is released online, we're going to make sure to promote it and let everybody know.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be talking quite a bit about it. You did mention January, though. If people want to find that online, how can they do it?
January, it's on YouTube and Vimeo, just January, Nathan Deming. It's a bit shorter. It was the first one, but I'm really proud of it and love the main character. Hope other people do too.
Real quick, we just got a couple more questions for you, Nathan. I really do appreciate the time. Are you in the process of writing or even filming March right now? Or are you in the is that in the works?
Yeah, so I've got up until June written, and I have this kind of arc I want to bring everybody on that I'm really, really excited about. In terms of when they get shot and when they get released, that's kind of a rolling thing around my other projects back in Los Angeles. But right now the target would be next March. And if not that, then definitely the one after that.
Okay. Just remember what we talked about off air and everything. You want a character that is Italian and Jewish and works in radio and no.
Really, send me your headshot.
I gotta get that over there. Right? Nathan, before we let you go, there is a couple of questions we'd like to ask all of our guests. And one of the things that I was looking forward to asking you, what is some of the better advice you've been given when it comes to the industry or just life in general?
I'll stick away from life. I don't know. I can do the film side.
Right.
I'm trying to think. I just did this screenwriting symposium last week that was also the same time as the Wisconsin Film Festival. That was a lot of fun. So it was making me think of the very simple screenwriting advice that I got that I think has helped. So I guess I'll share the first thing that jumps out at me is at some point somebody pointed out that when you boil it down, almost every story, at least in film, probably in outside of film too, but it's about consciousness change or about a character changing their mind about something.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely simplified, but essentially that's part of the catharsis we feel as we watch it. And just that simple bit of advice, super, super helpful, because especially writing movies, you get lost in the weeds a lot. I'm like, what is this about? And what do I want it to feel like? And then things like that, it goes, okay, right. Well, there's this, and it's kind of like, I picture it like, or all screenwriting advice, it's kind of like knowing the laws of gravity when you're designing a house, right? You just got to know how structure works.
Yeah,
and then once you do, you can do whatever you want. You can make the Burj Khalifa, or you can make the White House. I don't know why these are the references I'm thinking about.
Hey, that's great stuff. Okay, well, Nathan, you made it to the final question, but I will warn you, it is the toughest of all the questions we ask.
Yeah, man.
We ask this of all of our guests, though. If you could have coffee with any historical figure, who and why?
What coffee shop are we at?
One in Madison.
Okay, well, now I got to figure out who won't be cranky in Madison. No. Okay. Off the top of my head.
I could buy you a little time real quick here because nobody has ever asked a follow-up question, and that was awesome.
That was a great
follow-up question. We've been doing this for a while, and nobody's asked that follow-up question. That was a fantastic follow-up, Matt.
Well, right now, I would probably selfishly want coffee with Paul Thomas Anderson, who's my favorite American filmmaker.
And, That's a good one.
He'd probably be on his phone texting Maya Rudolph and wishing he wasn't at coffee with me. I would enjoy that.
Oh, it's a great choice.
That is very cool, yeah.
There's not many filmmakers that I can think of where there's not one scene I'm not glad I saw multiple times. He's one of those directors. It's not just his films I like. It's his approach and his originality to making films. So I can genuinely say there's not a scene I've seen of his that I didn't enjoy. Whether I like the movie or not, whether I like the acting, any of these things, it's all secondary. I'm always thankful that I saw his films. He's just one of those directors. I think that anything he does throughout his career, I'm going to see it in major part because of some of the earlier work that he did and how he pulled me in from a young age. I think like a good writer, he pulled me in very early. He's a great one. That's a great choice.
Yep.
Yeah, he's got a new movie coming out, too, One Battle After Another, check out the trailer.
God, does that look good, but also completely different than anything he's done before.
Well, can I give you real quick a Wisconsin connection to that movie?
Yes, oh, please. Yes, please do.
Yeah.
So a friend I grew up with in Toma, who graduated from the Toma High School, she worked in the sound department on that film, and PCA knew her by name. So if you want to know about people making films coming out of Wisconsin, there's definitely people doing it.
they're spread out from out the whole around the whole industry. You've got Wisconsinites, you've got Midwesterners. Mm-hmm. It's another reason why we encourage you to sign up the Action Wisconsin and help us bring more filmmaking to this state.
Yes,
and more guys like Nathan doing this great work. We appreciate you, man. As I warned you in the break, this isn't the last time you're going to be with us, though. Get used to putting up with Seth and I in these kind of questions. And thank you again for the time and what you're doing for the creative industry, man, and working so hard on this and pushing Action Wisconsin and some of that. I don't believe that you have to do that. I appreciate so much that you are and investing in our industry like you do and young creatives out there being able to see this and hopefully take note of it and do something similar when they get their opportunities.
Thanks, man. Yeah, actionwi.org for the people who want to check it out. And yeah, I think if we all work together pulling the same direction, who knows what we can accomplish.
That's right.
Nathan, if people would like to find out more on the work that you're doing, is there a website or somewhere where they can go to see that?
Yeah, my personal website is nathandeming.com, and my last name is just one M, like Peter Deming, David Lynch's cinematographer, who I'm not related to. But
it's been great, Nathan. Thank you so much again for the time. Wishing you well out there, and we'll talk again real soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Show.
More than 600 international students and recent grads have had their visas revoked. Here's people that are here 100% legally. We've seen the ICE checklist. Do you wear a Chicago Bulls hoodie? Do you have a tattoo? Check, check, gone. Again, this is about due process and following the Constitution. And if we don't have that, then none of us are safe.
The Todd Alba Show, moving soon to its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and on the app.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WFHR.com/contest-terms. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
It's game day every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers. Thanks to local businesses Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, you can join us 5 to 6 with your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. Covering local sports like no one else.
Clearing it out, and it is almost caught.
We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players and coaches, and you. 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers.
Get out of here!
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Just back from a trip to El Salvador, Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen is pushing hard for the release of Kilmer Abrego Garcia, the Maryland man deported there by mistake.
On CBS's Face the Nation, Van Hollen said Garcia was denied due process.
When you trample on the constitutional rights of one man, as the courts have all said is happening in this case, you threaten the constitutional rights of every American.
So-called border czar Tom Homan on ABC defended the administration.
We removed the public safety threat, a national security threat, a violent gang member.
There is dispute over whether Garcia is a gang member, and he has not been charged with any crime. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
In Rome.
Cari fratelli e sorelle, buona Pasqua.
Worshippers gathered at St. Peter's Square in the Vatican for Easter Sunday.